welcome to the Emmaus Bible Hour. This is a program for the family with an emphasis on finding out what God has to say to us today through His Word, the Bible. I saw a pathetic sight in Scotland. It was a great eagle in a massive cage. The sun shining brilliantly in the heavens seemed to be calling to it to rise from the earth and rejoice in its natural element. And the royal bird, in response to the call, fixed its eye on the sun and spread its mighty wings and stooped for flight. And then, becoming conscious of the iron bars that held it prisoner, it dropped its wings and lowered its head in apparent disappointment and shame. I watched that captive bird on that lovely summer afternoon with growing interest. Again and again, the light flashed in its eyes as it faced the sun and lifted its wings in the futile endeavor to soar away to the upper air. And just as often, its wings sank down and it bowed its neck, the most striking figure of depression and defeat I have ever looked upon. Thus wrote J.T. Mawson in his book, How to Overcome. This story serves as an introduction to the book of Judges, a book of defeat. It's been called the Dark Ages of Bible times. Before we go further into the book of Judges, may we remind you that we're studying together the Emmaus Bible course titled Summary of the Bible. This entire course is available to you in book form. Listen for our address at the close of the program. Now, Lesson 3, page 1 of that lesson. The lesson title is, We Want a King. In the book of Judges, we learn that Joshua's fears were well grounded. After his death, the nation repeatedly turned its back on God and went into idolatry. The Lord then allowed foreign armies to defeat the Israelites until the latter returned to Him in confession and forsaking of their sins. God then raised up a mighty military leader known as a judge to deliver the Jews from the oppressing nations. This deliverer would bring peace to the restless Israelites. Soon, however, they forgot their lesson and would lapse back into idolatry again. The book of Judges, of course, gets its name from those prominent leaders who became saviors of the nation at this critical time when there was no king in Israel, and everyone did that which was right in his own eyes. We find a repeated cycle of backsliding, subjugation, and deliverance in this book. I'd just like to mention at this point that in our lesson materials there's a chart listing the 13 defeats of the book of Judges. Also a listing of the deliverers or judges, plus their some other interesting information, like years of oppression and years of peace. With this background, we would encourage you to reread these stories of Deborah, Gideon, and Samson. Deborah, with her amazing bravery as a commander-in-chief and her never-to-be-forgotten song of victory. Gideon, with the much-loved stories of his call and of his unparalleled success with an army of only 300, equipped with trumpets, lamps, and pitchers. Samson, with a thrilling account of his great physical strength, but the sad story of his moral weakness. Yes, Samson was the weak, strong man. Let's pause just now to give you time to get your Bible, that you can read some of these stories after the broadcast. Also, you may want to get a pencil and paper so you can take down some notes on Ruth and 1 and 2 Samuel. In case you don't have our address, you may want to copy it down at the close of the program. listening to the Emmaus Bible Hour. In our present series, we're taking a bird's eye view of the Bible, with the hope that in the future you will want to study each one of these books of the Bible in depth. Remember, this entire course is available in book form, paperback, for your study at home. Included are exams that you may return to our office for grading, also some self-check tests that you can grade yourself. We're sure that these studies will help you. We encourage you to take the Emmaus Road to Bible knowledge. Be sure to stay tuned for our address. Now the book of Ruth. The events of this book took place during the time of the judges. Because of famine in Israel, a Jewish woman named Naomi went with her husband and two sons to Moab. One of her sons married a girl in Moab named Ruth. After Naomi's husband and two sons died, Ruth traveled back with her to Bethlehem. It was a rule in Israel that when a husband died, a near relative should marry the widow in order to preserve the family name and to keep the property in the family. A very gracious Jew named Boaz, a relative of Ruth's former husband, signified his willingness to marry Ruth. He thus became what was known as her kinsman redeemer. Ruth bore a son named Obed, grandfather of King David and one of the ancestors of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus Ruth, though a Gentile, is listed in the genealogy of the Savior. Now 1 Samuel. About 280 years after Joshua led the children of Israel into the Promised Land, they reached a critical point in their history. Instead of being a blessing to the nation, the priesthood had utterly failed. The sons of Eli, the high priest, proved to be worthless, and thus the Israelites lacked spiritual leadership. It is at this crisis hour that Samuel appears. God will now speak to his people through prophets rather than through the priesthood, first through Samuel and then through others raised up by the Lord, some of whom were instructed in Samuel's schools. What is a prophet? A prophet is simply a spokesman for God who warns the people to turn from their sin and often predicts exact events that will follow obedience or disobedience. In addition to the internal weakness of God's people, they were being troubled by the Philistine armies from without. They finally went to Samuel and demanded a king like the other nations. Up until then, the nation had been a theocracy. That means that God had been their ruler. Now, in requesting a king, they were really rejecting God. Samuel, therefore, was instructed to anoint Saul as king of Israel. At first, this man's reign was promising. However, he was not a true man of God, and so he lapsed into deeper and deeper sin. First, he served as a priest, a thing forbidden of anyone outside of the family of Aaron. Second, he made an unnecessary vow that almost cost his son Jonathan's life. Third, he spared an enemy named Agag when he had been ordered to slay him. Fourth, he killed some of the priests of Jehovah. And then he made repeated jealous attacks on the life of David. You will recall that David, as a young man, gained tremendous popularity by slaying Goliath, the Philistine giant. Finally, Saul went to a witch to seek guidance. After his third mistake, God rejected him as king, and David was anointed in his place. However, David was not able to reign as king while Saul was alive. He spent years hiding from Saul's murderous attacks. Eventually, Saul lost his army. Three of his sons were killed. He was doomed to fall into the hands of the Philistines. Rather than suffer this shame, he committed suicide. As you can see, the first book of Samuel has many lessons for us today. Finally, 2 Samuel. This book is devoted almost entirely to the reign of David. For 7.5 years after Saul's death, he ruled only over Judah. One of Saul's sons, Ishbosheth, had seized the reins of government over the northern tribes, and war broke out between the two sections of the nation. The early part of his reign was devoted to conquering Israel's enemies, notably the Philistines. He made Jerusalem the political and religious capital and desired to build a temple for the Lord there. God forbade this because David was a man of war. However, God promised him that his throne would last forever, that he would always have descendants to sit upon the throne. Chapter 11 of 2 Samuel records the sad story of David's shameful sin. About 1 year later, he repented when the prophet Nathan confronted him with his guilt. However, God disciplined him severely by troubles in his family. First, the child born as a result of his sin died. Second, his son Amnon was killed by another son, Absalom. Third, Absalom revolted and drove David into exile. At last, Absalom was killed, and David returned to Jerusalem. At the close of his reign, he proudly took a census of Israel, boasting in its size and strength rather than relying on the Lord. God sent a pestilence and destroyed 70,000 men. When David erected an altar and offered up sacrifices to God, the plague stopped. This has been Lesson 3 in the course, Summary of the Bible. This is one of the fine correspondence courses of the Emmaus Bible School. Next time we're together, we'll be looking at 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, Ezra, and Nehemiah. Stay tuned for information on how you can obtain this course in book form. This is the Emmaus Bible Hour.